Chapter 9.
Last night I told you I loved you. Woke up, blamed it on the vodka. I genuinely thought I was dying, and I could see that smile you were hiding. Last night I told you I need you. That's the last time I drink tequila. Super lemon and a sidekick, salt kid. I start crying and verbally assaulting. Last night I asked you to marry me. That's when I remembered the brandy. I wake up and claim I didn't say it. Screwed if I ever wake up in Vegas.
Wish I could stop, then I'm not joking. Drinking too much and socially smoking. Wish I could stop, start to behave and then wake up in the morning and never miss a day again.
Cody wakes up comfortable, warm, and curled up, which is absolutely fantastic for a minute. He turns his head, sleepily, to check the room's chrono. It's about 30 minutes before they need to get up, so he intends to try to get that extra 30 minutes, until he drops his head back against the pillow and realizes that half the reason he's so warm is because Obi-Wan's holding on to him in his sleep, his face pressed against Cody's shoulder, and one arm slung around his waist. Cody realizes also that his hand is twisted in Obi-Wan's shirt, and he quickly lets go and pulls away so he can get up. It's nice being close, but he's not gonna keep being stupid. He needs to get back to politics and his duty and stop criffing around when he knows better. He goes to the fresher for a shower and a change, and when he comes back, Obi-Wan is awake and sitting up, rubbing blearily at his face. Cody goes over to get his jacket and pull it on over his shirt, although it's 5 times fancier than the clothes he brought for today. He just wants the warmth. "Good morning," he says to Obi-Wan, going to sit at the table and getting out his datapad.
"It is far too early to be considered good," Obi-Wan grumbles,
running a hand through his hair and making it even messier than it already was. Cody glances at him and smiles a little, amused.
"Not a morning person, I take it." "Not in the slightest," Obi-Wan huffs irritably.
"Well, I'm sure we can get some calf somewhere. Or I guess you still drink tea, don't you?"
"You guess?"
Obi-Wan looks very weary of his opinions, which pulls a smile out of Cody.
"Cody, tea is far superior to calf in every conceivable way."
"Except for the taste," Cody mutters to himself. "If I wanted to taste leaves, I would just eat them, not drink them watered down." Obi-Wan doesn't even look amused by Cody's critique, and ends up shaking his head, muttering to himself in a language that doesn't sound like Mandela or Basic, and coming over to grab his things and march to the fresher. Cody shakes his head a little and goes back to browsing the holonet. As it turns out, neither of them gets calf or tea until they get back to Mandalore, much to Obi-Wan's particular displeasure. And they spend most of the flight back with Riska and Anakin and Elek giving he and Obi-Wan what they must think are very furtive looks of curiosity.
"Don't bother," Cody wants to tell them. "I'm pretty sure the whole thing was a big mistake."
All the same, it doesn't feel like a mistake. Not to him. Not really.
Not that anybody cares.
Everyone's very curious about the festival for a while, and of course Cody says it was amazing, because it was. And then the meetings all shift to talking about Bo-Katan's mission and what they're calling New Death Watch, for lack of a better name, and everything else they have to accomplish. Everything settles back to normal. Most of all, Obi-Wan's behavior. Cody's not sure what he expected, he supposes, but a part of him had still thought that maybe Obi-Wan was changing his mind at the festival. And maybe it wasn't just because of the alcohol and the party. But apparently, that was all there was to it. Everyone got a little carried away. That was all. He tells Rex about it when they have some time to themselves. Once Rex stops swearing about the fact that Cody has gone and fallen head over heels stupid for a Jedi, He commiserates more than Cody had expected he would. Cody explains about all the reasons Obi-Wan gave for why Jedi don't do emotions, and Rex agrees that they're criffin stupid, which helps a little. Cody starts regularly sparring with Obi-Wan. While they do that, Anakin's usually practicing forms on the training grounds, although Riska has also talked him into learning to use some of the Mandalorian equipment. The most entertaining thus far has been her trying to show him how to use a jetpack. He's all right at it, but the first time he tries, he crash lands in a flurry of sparks and curses. Cody laughs almost as hard as Riska. There's a time Anakin is doing a form while they're sparring, and apparently he gets frustrated, because when Obi-Wan beats Cody, for what has to be the 100th time, Jack has actually marched over to Anakin and is giving him grudging advice. "You think too much, Ed," he tells him, gruff. "You either need to learn to leave all the extra stuff out of your fighting, or you need to channel it. But as it is, you're flailing around like a blind bantha." Cody doesn't think Obi-Wan's happy about the advice exactly, but nobody, not even Obi-Wan, argues with Jack. Still, Cody's pretty sure Obi-Wan and Anakin end up having a rather separate conversation on the way back into the palace, based on their expressions. Something about the incident rubs Cody the wrong way, but he doesn't want to say anything. It's just that it seems like for all that Obi-Wan is here and acts like he's part of things, he really would rather not have to be here with on Mandalore at all. Sometimes Cody thinks it's like he's really afraid Anakin's going to turn out like them. Like that'd be such a bad thing. And it stings a little. He doesn't mean to be hurt or angry, but sometimes he just wants to tell Obi-Wan to leave Anakin alone, even though he knows that's not how it works, and knows Obi-Wan is supposed to be Anakin's teacher. He thinks it's really just because he is selfish. He just keeps thinking about what it would be like if Obi-Wan wasn't a Jedi. If he didn't have all the rules about emotions and relationships, how good it could be. But really, though, things mostly aren't so bad when he doesn't focus on what he doesn't have. Obi-Wan has lunch with him almost every day, and Cody keeps slipping plants and flowers into Obi-Wan's room. Cody's getting even better with the Darksaber, with Obi-Wan to spar with. Although he's always impressed and annoyed by how Obi-Wan seems to always manage to pull a win out of their matches. It's good practice. And sometimes it's when Cody feels like he most understands Obi-Wan. Fighting is so much easier than trying to talk. And it's not even as if talking to Obi-Wan is difficult. Cody feels like he can tell him things he can't tell everyone else, about what he's worried about, when he's not sure he can manage everything he has to do. And Obi-Wan always listens. Even when Cody doesn't agree with Obi-Wan, it's better to be with him and talking to him than not. For all their worrying, after a month or so, Bo-Katan tells them Prey is just trying to build up strength for the time being, and hasn't shown any signs of beginning a campaign yet. Cody doesn't like that, either. But it's better than if he were actively moving against them, although he doesn't think all his advisors see it that way. But it's peace for the time being, and that's what matters, even if it's not ideally what he wants. It's good enough. He just has to remember that. It's better than he expected. Time passes faster than expected. Obi-Wan spends his days working with Cody's advisors, both on mundane tasks like budgeting and hiring contractors to repair the broken support strut that makes the east landing platform and loading dock unstable, and on strategizing, coming up with different strategies Prey might be using and ways to counter them. So far, they haven't had to put any of those countermeasures in place yet, but they're prepared, just in case. He spars with Cody, almost daily now, the exercise forcing him to stretch himself out to his limits and surpass those, to move beyond the constraints of the Jedi forms and piece together new ways of fighting. It's an exhilarating thing, these spars. The first time Cody uses his unique Mandalorian braces to try and give himself an advantage, he very nearly wins a round. Obi-Wan's not expecting to get hit with a pulse reminiscent of a force push, especially one he couldn't sense from the movement of the force around him. And it's only his instincts and years of training that allow him to twist the momentum into a flip. After that, he has little qualms about using his own force abilities, and the matches get considerably more interesting for a while. Anakin's training is progressing well. He and Obi-Wan go on a few more Jedi missions, most of which go according to plan, a couple of which don't. Anakin is still too emotional, prone to acting on his feelings without considering them or releasing them, and his Mando friends are only encouraging this behavior, which frustrates Obi-Wan, although he has to admit that Anakin's improved drastically in saber combat since Jack decided to give him advice. For the most part, everything is good. But there are times, especially when it's just him and Cody, when Obi-Wan can't help but think about laughter and brilliant, warm smiles, about standing too close and swaying to the soft music, about a hand on his face, soothing lightly across his cheekbone. He shouldn't think of it. Shouldn't remember the realization that Cody was going to kiss him, and the way that felt. Something warm and swooping in his stomach because he wanted, more than he's ever wanted anything in his life, he thinks. He knows it was a mistake. All of it. The closeness, the laughter, the dancing, the near kiss. But sometimes that's hard to remember. Still, Obi-Wan looks forward to the daily spars with Cody, to the time they spend together. It's companionable, and despite the fact that sometimes it's quite difficult to remember his duty, Obi-Wan manages. Sometimes, though, he still dreams. By the time 6 months have passed since the wedding, Obi-Wan and Anakin are both well integrated into daily life at the palace and in Sandori as a whole. Anakin's taking up a training regimen with Riska in addition to his training with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan approves, for the most part, because it's gotten Anakin to finally focus on his lightsaber skills, the innate talent Obi-Wan's always known as Padawan possessed, but has never been able to get him to care enough to unlock. However, there are times in which Riska's advice is decidedly against what the Jedi would approve of. Obi-Wan tries not to discuss these instances with Anakin in front of everyone, for the most part, as it wouldn't be entirely polite. But he has the feeling that Cody, at least, is aware of these discussions all the same, and doesn't approve of them. But it's hardly Cody's place to decide how Anakin is trained. Still, there is tension. A tension that's been building since shortly after the Festival of Lights. And Obi-Wan dreads when it will all come to a head. It ends up happening on a perfectly ordinary day, in the middle of a perfectly ordinary sparring match. Obi-Wan is focusing intently on his spar with Cody, paying only background attention to Anakin fighting with Riska. He can't spare the attention at the moment, as Cody is pressing a hard offensive and Obi-Wan's having to pull on all his considerable knowledge of Ceresu to fend him off. Anakin's been growing increasingly frustrated in the background, and as Obi-Wan prepares to nudge him mentally, a reminder to release his frustration, he hears Riska say, "You should channel all that into your attack. It'll make you stronger and more focused." And that is the exact opposite of how a Jedi must fight. That is how one reaches the dark side. But instead of ignoring her, Obi-Wan can feel Anakin listen, and he disengages from Cody abruptly, turns away from their spar, and crosses the short distance to Anakin's sparring with Riska. Anakin, he snaps quickly. What are you doing? You know better than to channel your negative emotions that way.
It's just some advice Riska gave me,
Anakin says, but he looks abashed.
Sorry, Master.
You are well aware of what that kind of advice can lead to, Obi-Wan says, taking a deep breath. That's enough sparring practice for the day. You should spend some time in meditation. But... Anakin grits his teeth and lets out a frustrated sigh.
Yes, Master,
he says, deactivates his lightsaber and returns it to his belt.
Sorry, Riska.
And he turns and heads back for the palace, and presumably his room. Obi-Wan shakes his head, presses his lips together in a thin line. His Padawan is already too close to the dark without anyone's outside help. Look, Riska, he says tiredly. I appreciate what you've been doing to help Anakin, but I can't have you give him that kind of advice.
Cody's surprised at Obi-Wan's abrupt abandonment of their sparring session, and even more surprised at the cause of it. Obi-Wan's frustration with Riska's advice is somewhat understandable, but Cody doesn't appreciate Obi-Wan telling Anakin off in front of everyone. And when Obi-Wan tells Riska she can't give advice when that's what training's for, well, he agreed to let Anakin practice with her. It's not her fault if she gives Anakin the best advice she has, and Anakin's certainly old enough to judge for himself whether it's good or not. I don't see the problem, Riska says, looking piqued, eyebrows going up. He's got all this extra stuff going on in his head, and it's affecting his focus. He's got to do something with it. And if it gives him a little extra drive and energy when he's fighting, I don't see what you're objecting to. Cody winces, tucking his hands behind his back and curling one tightly around his wrist. He knows why Obi-Wan objects. They've had this conversation. But he just wants Obi-Wan to let it go and not bother Riska about his philosophies. She is not Obi-Wan's student, and she can say what she damn well wants to. Obi-Wan sighs. Jedi don't channel negative emotions into their fighting, Riska. That leads to dangerous paths for us. Anakin is still learning how to let go of these emotions. It's something even older Jedi struggle with. Riska shakes her head, looking away, clearly displeased. Well, it didn't seem like what he was trying was working for him, so I made a suggestion. I just wanted to help. I know, and I do appreciate it, but it's not the kind of technique Jedi employ, Obi-Wan says, sighing again. Think of it as ridiculous philosophy if you want, but it's not our way. Riska smiles, although the expression is a bit tight, and huffs a short laugh. Fine, Kenobi, she says, and gestures loosely as if to dismiss the topic. Sorry to interrupt your spar. We're fine, Cody tells her, dry. And Riska nods a bit and marches off to do some solo exercises. Cody sighs and presses his lips together in the only sign of disapproval he's willing to show, turns to head back inside. Obi-Wan comes with him, his hands also folded behind his back. Cody can tell he's frustrated, which makes two of them, and he's considering saying something to try and smooth things over, when Obi-Wan shakes his head a little and says, half to himself, Anakin should honestly know better than to listen to that kind of advice. What kind of advice? Cody snaps, and instantly regrets it.
He should just let it go. He knows the comment wasn't even really directed at him, but it's frustrating.
Obi-Wan shoots him a look, impatient.
The kind of advice that turns Jedi into Sith.
Cody doesn't mean to laugh, exactly. He just does before he can stop himself. You think my friend's gonna make Anakin become a Sith? He asks, a bit incredulous. Come on, Obi-Wan.
I never said that, Obi-Wan says, although he basically did. But telling a Jedi to channel anger and frustration into the Force is telling them to use the dark side. Riska never said anything about the Force, Cody sighs. And I think Anakin could have told her himself. You didn't have to... He stops, grits his teeth a bit, and stops walking toward the palace, crossing his arms. Griff, Obi-Wan, Riska can give advice you don't agree with, you know. Didn't have to do what? Obi-Wan asks, a bit challengingly, turning to face him. What you couldn't feel, and I could, is that Anakin was taking her advice, and in doing so, drawing on the very edges of the dark. Cody shakes his head. That's not Riska's fault. I feel like you're jumping at shadows. Anakin ought to be old enough that he can learn what works for him without you running over to scold him like you're his buer. You don't know anywhere near enough about the Jedi to make that kind of statement, Obi-Wan says, light, starting to turn away. And Cody shifts, narrowing his eyes. Excuse me? He wants to laugh again, humorless, but he stifles the impulse. What kind of bullshit excuse is that? Is that how you always get out of uncomfortable conversations, or are you just feeling extra high and mighty today? It's not some bullshit excuse. Obi-Wan's voice is hard-edged and sarcastic. It's a simple fact. Before you make statements about things you have no real knowledge of, maybe you should learn what they feel like first. Abruptly, Cody just feels horribly small, and loses track of his train of thought to a confused, chaotic mess of his own frustration. He's angry, he knows that, but he can't quite remember why, and there's something pressing on him, making adrenaline flood his veins, and he shivers. Everything feels muffled, cut off, so it's just emotions, loud, and he only knows he's angry and small and... The pressure suddenly releases, and Cody realizes he's pressing a hand to his forehead. Shaken, he looks at Obi-Wan and sees his Redur looking resolute, satisfied, and unaffected. And Cody swears. What the criff, he snarls, trying to ignore a tiny knot of fear in his chest. Was that? That is the dark, Cody, Obi-Wan says, crossing his arms, eyes flashing. It's not a game, it's not some philosophical idea, and it's very, very dangerous. Cody doesn't care what point Obi-Wan was trying to make. The long and short of it appears to be that Obi-Wan just criffed around with his emotions just so he could say he was right, and that's too much. Where the hells do you get off? Cody asks, low and sharp, containing himself with an effort. Who do you think you are, anyway? Is changing the subject how you always get out of difficult conversations? Obi-Wan mimics, and Cody laughs dryly. Oh, I'm not, he says flatly. What makes you think it's okay to mess with my head? I didn't mess with anything, Obi-Wan snaps. That was just a projection of what the dark felt like the last time I fought a Sith Lord. I'm not one of your students, Cody says, fierce, not quite sure why he's so angry, just that he's tired of excuses. What did you want to do? Force me to agree with you? Obi-Wan stares at him a moment, offense and surprise in his bright blue eyes. I would never, he says. No Jedi would. But if you're going to argue about the mysteries of the Force, you need to know just what you're talking about. I don't want to argue about your godsdamned mysteries of the Force, Cody hisses. For Criff's sake, is that all you know how to think about? I suppose so, in the same way that all Mandalorians think about is who you're going to fight next, Obi-Wan says, derisive and sharp, looking away. And Cody drops his hand to his sides and holds them out, palms up, a bit helplessly. If you don't want to be here, why don't you just criffing leave then, he says, his chest hurting a little. It's not as if he needs Obi-Wan, and they'd both be better off if Obi-Wan just went back to the Jedi like he clearly wants to. Obi-Wan takes a step towards him, the fierce look in his eyes making the move almost threatening. Cody squares his jaw a little and doesn't back down.
Of course I quitting want to be here, Obi-Wan says, voice heated. You neurotic!
Before Cody can even be offended, Obi-Wan's curled a hand on his collar and is leaning up and kissing him hard. And Cody still shouldn't, but he can't help kissing Obi-Wan back, sliding his fingers into soft copper hair and hanging on for dear life. Of course, in a moment, Obi-Wan pulls away, wide-eyed, and Cody knows it's coming, but the look of surprise and regret still stings.
I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry, he says, sounding a little small, and Cody smiles tightly.
There you go, messing with my head again, Obi-Wan, he says tersely. He smooths his jacket a little and shakes his head. Don't worry about it. I understand.
Obi-Wan feels sick. All the anger, the frustration, is gone, drained away in an instant, and he closes his eyes briefly, tries to swallow down all the want and the regret and the pain and sorrow, a whole mess of emotions. Who knew one kiss could cause so much feeling? I'm sorry, he reiterates, because he is. He knows a little of how much it will hurt and frustrate Cody. The kiss, when Obi-Wan can't do anything more, because no matter how much he wants to, attachment is forbidden. So he can't. And he hadn't meant to kiss Cody. He'd just been emotional. He'd let his emotions control him instead of the other way around, and now he understands why that's so dangerous. He hadn't realized, really, just how much he's let himself feel for Cody. Force, he's an idiot. How can he lecture Anakin about being mindful of his feelings when he just lets his own run away with him? The worst part, he thinks, is that he didn't even want to release these emotions. He doesn't want to slip into calm professionalism, into detachment. Because he feels more like himself when he is with Cody than when he's ever felt before. Because something in him craves that warmth and softness, the light in Cody's eyes when he's happy, because the Force sings when it's just the two of them together. But he can't let himself. So, he finds, irrationally, that he wants to cry. Again, it's all right, Cody says, waving a hand, like it's no big deal. But Obi-Wan can feel how much of a big deal it really is, and Force, but it aches. I'm sorry I started an argument. I actually have to go talk to Rex about some of the guard shifts, so if you don't mind excusing me. He hasn't sounded like this since the first week they spoke. Serious and professional and like they're nothing more than two people who know each other through a job. Obi-Wan knows that's for the best. It'll make things easier, but creeping hells, it burns. And suddenly he can't quite swallow. Something in his chest and throat gone tight and aching. Of course, he says neutrally. I should go check on Anakin. He inclines his head in a not quite bow, turns on his heel, and strides quickly away. Tries not to feel like he's running. Anakin is one of the last people he can talk to right now, but that's entirely besides the point. It hurts. Obi-Wan barely makes it to his rooms before the tears come, and then he sits cross-legged on his bed with his face in his hands and cries, and wishes that Qui-Gon was here because his old master is the only one Obi-Wan knows he could have talked to about all this mess, and not gotten an answer twisted up with layers of code and rebuke. He hasn't cried like this, he thinks, since his master died. In some twisted way, he supposes it's fitting.
Rex finds Cody in the kitchen, sitting out of the way of the cooks at a low table with a cup of whiskey between his hands and a suspiciously red, tired face. Rex isn't really surprised. Just a bit ago, he'd gotten a comm from Riska, who told him she'd overheard parts of what sounded like a bad argument between Cody and Kenobi. She also admitted to a little spying, which resulted, apparently, in her seeing Cody and Kenobi kissing. Rex had thought she was probably kidding him, but she didn't sound as excited as she should have. And anyway, that sounds like the kind of stupid thing Cody would do. So finding Azorivad drinking and apparently having just finished crying doesn't end up being much of a shock. Rex drags a stool over to the table and sits down, rapping his knuckles on the wooden tabletop with a small, wry smile.
I take it your day's not going so well?
He says. Cody snorts.
It's feckin' shitty. Thanks for asking.
He gives Rex a small smile,
clearly worn out,
and Rex makes a noncommittal noise.
Next time you and your Redor fight, you shouldn't do it in the gardens right by the training grounds, Codes.
He points out, and Cody winces.
Riska calmed me. How much did she overhear?
A lot, apparently.
And she says you kissed Kenobi.
Cody drops his head into his hands with a muttered curse, which is enough confirmation on its own.
Great. Just what I needed.
Why did you kiss him? Rex asks, somewhat incredulous. Cody's stupid sometimes, but he should know better than that, at least. They've talked about this before, and they both know Kenobi wouldn't be interested.
I didn't. Exactly.
Cody swears again and shakes his head.
The dumbass kissed me.
Oh, Rex says slowly, thinking.
And that is not a good thing?
Cody still doesn't look up.
No, because then he apologized.
Ah, Rex says.
Damn, Codes. That's shitty.
Cody nods. Rex likes Kenobi, most of the time. He doesn't even mind that he's a JT. But at the moment, he wants to go find the man and shake him. And tell him exactly what he thinks of this Bantha shit, and where he can shove his apparent apology. Because even though Cody hasn't actually admitted it, Rex is pretty sure Cody might love Kenobi. Which is a whole other problem. So what the hells can Kenobi have been thinking?
I'm going to punch him, he says helpfully.
Rex, don't be like that. Cody looks up, takes a sip of his whiskey. I really don't think he meant to.
Is that supposed to be better?
I don't know. Cody shrugs, smiling tightly, and Rex scowls. Political or not, Cody's Redor shouldn't be making him upset like this. The whole point of Redore is to be on each other's side, and all Kenobi can seem to do is lead Cody on. Rex says, I'm going to yell at him.
No, you're not, Cody answers, predictably.
And so, of course, Rex won't. Although he wants to. He wants to tell Kenobi, doesn't he know how much Cody stuck his neck out for him, letting a JT stick around? Doesn't he know how much Cody likes him, and how even Boba wants his approval? Doesn't he know he's crippling hurting Cody? But Rex knows Cody would hate for him to make a scene, and hate for Rex to give Kenobi the idea that Cody's not fine, because gods forbid Cody ever disappoint anybody. Still, it's hard not to. It's hard not to drag Kenobi aside at their next advisory meeting when they're updating Rex on Bo-Katan's latest intel and asking for his input, because Cody's not sitting next to Kenobi like he usually does. And he's exercising that politician-cold friendliness that Rex thinks he usually reserves for the clan representatives or visitors from other worlds. Kenobi himself had begun to seem so familiar with all of them that even Rex is jarred by a returned layer of stiffness and formality when he talks and interacts. And it's most uncomfortable, because while he's still more friendly with Rex himself and Riska and the others, all he seems to direct towards Cody is a disinterested friendliness. Rex could griffing strangle him. Him and his smiling, unconcerned face. Of course, Cody doesn't look particularly affected either, so who's to say what Kenobi's thinking? Still, Rex wouldn't put money on his being terribly sad. He's a JT, and even if he is a good sort of JT, they have all kinds of rules about emotions. Once, though, Rex walks in on the tail end of a conversation Anakin's having with Riska, and Anakin's telling her he thinks Kenobi is really upset, so Anakin probably knows what he's talking about. And Boba, oddly, seems to agree. After lunch one day. That's another thing. Kenobi has stopped coming to their family lunches so often. He pulls Rex aside and says, a bit sheepish, Cody and Obi-Wan seem upset. Yeah, Rex says tiredly. I guess they argued, Vodica. I don't get it. Boba crosses his arms. What are they making such a big deal over? It's really depressing. Rex shrugs. Hells, I don't know. If they don't work it out, I might punch Kenobi. I want to punch him first, Boba says. And Rex has to backpedal to explain that he's not giving Boba permission to punch people just because he's frustrated with them. Although, damn, if Rex doesn't want to do that himself. He'd just like better for his Olivand than a bunch of bullshit excuses from his own Redur. Cody's got enough problems as it is. Problems which are partly Kenobi's fault, too. Although, yes, Rex knows that Prey would have left anyway, and yes, he knows it's petty to blame that on Kenobi. Rex keeps a concerned eye on Cody, and a baleful eye on Kenobi, and tries not to butt in where he isn't wanted. He does anyway once, though. By mistake. Just a little. Rex's sleep schedule is a little erratic, because, sure, he's the Duke's brother, but he tries to be on the watch schedule and be available if there are incidents to be dealt with. That usually just means that he can't always sleep well, though. So more often than not, he goes to the cellar or the library to eat a bit and read. Tonight, then, he heads into the library, intending to look for something interesting to read, and accidentally finds Kenobi there instead. The JT is apparently looking at a star map, chin on his hand, and Rex isn't keen to talk to him as it is. But then he realizes Kenobi's shoulders are hunched and he's got tears on his cheeks. Rex leaves the library very fast. Maybe Kenobi is more upset about all this than Rex thought. That doesn't really make things better, though. It just confuses Rex. If it's hurting Kenobi too, why can't they work it out? He keeps that opinion to himself too. It's not his job to kick Kenobi's recalcitrant ass into gear. And if Cody doesn't want to talk to him either, that's fine. Rex figures he can just complain with Boba until they get their shit together. Still, he doesn't like it. Anakin figures, in a sense, that he shouldn't be surprised by all of this. He'd figured out that his master was very attached to Cody pretty early on, probably way before Obi-Wan did. Anakin's always been better at that kind of thing. The emotions. Not that Obi-Wan's unemotional, because actually, he seems to be a lot more like Anakin himself than the stuffy, uptight beings that compose the Jedi High Council. He's just really, really good at releasing his emotions to the Force. Anakin tries, he does, but that's not how his mom taught him to feel.
and he doesn't really see the point in it. And Riska certainly doesn't release her emotions to anything, and she's not dark or wrong or whatever it is Obi-Wan's worried about. Sure, Anakin understands his master's point. Channeling his anger can lead to the dark side. He knows that. They've been telling him he's too close to the dark side since he was carking 9. But he doesn't really think Obi-Wan's right this time. In any case, Anakin's known for certain that Obi-Wan was attached to Cody since probably before the festival incident. There have been hints of it almost since the wedding. So he's not surprised to hear about the kiss. Frustrated, yes, to hear about and witness firsthand the aftermath, but not surprised. And he's damned irritated he had to hear about it from Riska. Obi-Wan doesn't seem to want Anakin to know about the whole mess, though, which Anakin doesn't understand. His master is like a father and a brother to him all in one, and Obi-Wan can tell him anything. Anakin wouldn't tell anyone that his master is struggling with the attachment part of the code, though it's definitely a novel idea. Anakin hadn't ever expected Obi-Wan, perfect Jedi Kenobi, to struggle with anything, much less one of the biggest things Anakin himself struggles with. And since he knows his master is hurting, he wouldn't tease much. But Obi-Wan doesn't talk. So instead, Anakin hears from Riska about hearing them argue, about seeing them kiss. And he guesses, from the way his master is acting now, all polite and professional, like this is just another diplomatic mission, that Obi-Wan regrets it. Which is stupid, because clearly they're both interested in each other, and from what Anakin can feel across the training bond, he thinks Obi-Wan might love Cody. Which is insane, and also really cool. Instead, he has to talk to Riska about how Obi-Wan's felt wrong, felt tired and sad and frustrated, about how Anakin has no idea how to help. Obi-Wan might pretend to everyone, even to Anakin, that he's alright, but Anakin knows him well enough to know it's a lie. Life goes on. Obi-Wan never says it, but Anakin can tell he appreciates the fact that as time passes, they get more missions from the Council, because it's space away from the mess of things on Mandalore. It's time to think and to relax. Obi-Wan doesn't say this, either, but Anakin knows that keeping up with a veneer of detachment and polite friendliness is hard on his master, but that he's committed to doing it for Cody's sake. Cark it! His master cares so much for Cody, it's scary! The first mission they get back from, Anakin's carrying his things back to his room when he catches a snippet of thought floating across the training bond.
No plants.
Master?
He nudges, confused.
It's nothing, Anakin,
Obi-Wan says back. But Anakin's heard enough to put the pieces together, and he doesn't like what he thinks. No more plants. He's noticed, of course he has, that whenever he goes into Obi-Wan's rooms, there seem to be more plants and little flowers accumulating, and he'd figured out from Obi-Wan that it was courtesy of Cody. So this must mean that Cody's stopped giving Obi-Wan plants. Anakin wants to shake him. Doesn't he understand how much that means to Obi-Wan? The only thing that doesn't change completely is the sparring. Cody and Obi-Wan still practice, although it's no longer a daily event. Some days, Cody spars with Anakin instead. And Anakin's sure he should have expected it, given how closely matched Cody is with his master, but it's still annoying that Cody wins every time. By a lot, usually. Life keeps going. Things settle into a sort of routine, a new one, in which Obi-Wan and Cody are upset and hardly talk to each other, and Anakin plots with Boba and tries to come up with pranks that'll make their brother smile. The
The first time Boba calls Obi-Wan Anakin's brother, he almost falls over in his haste to correct, thinks maybe he just mistranslated. He's still learning Mandoa, after all. But he thinks that, in a sense, Boba's right. For fun, they prank Rex, too. The only thing off-limits to them, Anakin tells Boba, is Obi-Wan's plants. That's a role they can work with, Boba agrees. And so, they get to work. And sometimes, they even succeed.